I'm very blessed here this morning to have Congressman Jeff Duncan.
Yeah, down in the, what, in the basement, in the hallways, there's all this furniture lined up, and I guess people that are working there just come and say, okay, we'll take this, we'll take that. It is phenomenal, the stuff that you see moving around there when this happens.
And what's amazing, just a little factoid for the listeners there, is that the furniture that was in my first office in the Cannon House office building is the same furniture I have today in my Rayburn House office building, two buildings away. That this furniture was assigned to me as a congressman, and I guess the same furniture will be with me my whole stint in Congress. The same couches, the same side chairs in our lobby, the same desk, the same chairs, everything, lamps, you name it.
Interesting. But there is a lot of changing around. How has the power struggle started there, Jeff?
It has power? Is that what you ask about?
Yes, power struggle. Yeah, I mean, yesterday we heard Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer over there talking to the president, and they seemed a little cocky.
Well, there's no doubt that they're cocky. There's a different air about most of the Democrats walking around, and of course they have an opportunity now to try to move the ball in the direction they want it to go, whereas they've been playing second fiddle in the minority for 8 years now. So there seems to be, at least in those leadership positions like Pelosi and Schumer, a little bit of cockiness. But we'll see. I've never served in the minority, so to speak. I feel like I've been in the minority since I've been here because I'm a true conservative, and not everyone up here is, even in the Republican side. But with the Democrats running the show and how the committees will be made up, it'll be interesting. And I'd love to come back on after maybe February or March, a couple of months of it, and let you know sort of what I'm experiencing.
That's right. So what is it going to mean as far as the committees that you serve on, Jeff?
Well, I'm on Energy and Commerce, and it looks like I'll stay on that committee, but we'll have a new chairman. Of course, Frank Pallone from New Jersey will be the chairman now, and we'll be in the minority, and I believe they're gonna go right back to the Affordable Care Act and try to pass things to change that. Of course, it won't pass out of the Senate. The Democrats will work on a lot of climate change issues. Global warming will be front and center, and the people that were elected this time, such as the young lady in New York, has really wanted to be on the Energy and Commerce Committee so she can talk about, pontificate about climate change and whatnot, and Medicare for All and its billions of dollars in cost. So, you know, we anticipate that those subjects will be front and center for the majority of the next Congress.
Absolutely. So, one of the things that was one of the things you had talked about was, of course, doing exploration for natural gas and was it oil too off our coast? I understand a lawsuit's been filed to keep that from happening down here.
Yeah, that was definitely a political dynamic in the race in the first congressional district, but the president has been clear to allow some seismic exploration to happen off the Atlantic seaboard so that we can see what resources might be on the Atlantic side. We know the success we've had in the Gulf of Mexico and, of course, off the coast of Alaska and even off the Pacific coast. Unbelievable that people don't realize there's offshore drilling and a lot of energy exploration and production that happens off the coast of California. But the seismic testing should go forward. Let's find out what's out there. It does no harm to do seismic testing and find out if we have natural gas reserves out there that are in plentiful quantities in order to produce and let South Carolina play a part in the new energy matrix and also be a player in the global politics of energy where we maybe create LNG export terminals in Georgetown and ship natural gas from South Carolina to Germany or all of Europe and lessen their dependence on Russia and Vladimir Putin. So there's a lot of dynamics that could happen if we find an abundance of natural gas off the coast of South Carolina. And I've said all along, if we find a good oil field out there with a lot of crude oil, then we can have that conversation in South Carolina about what the state wants to do to participate or not participate in oil production, because tourism and our beaches and whatnot, and the fear of an oil spill. But natural gas would be a different conversation.
That's right. And who actually makes that determination in the end? Is it the state, or would it be the federal government on actual?
Federal law says the states have jurisdiction over their coastal waters out to about 2 miles, and everything beyond that, out to about 200 miles, is federal waters. So the federal government makes the determination. And it's always been that way, or I say always has been that way for a very, very long time. After 200 miles, you get into international water. And, there's a lot of things that people don't take into consideration when thinking about energy exploration and production off the coast of South Carolina. They like to compare it to what happened at Deepwater Horizon. But, there's one facet in the Deepwater Horizon episode that would not apply to South Carolina, in that they were dealing with 5,600 feet of water. It was truly deep water off the coast of Louisiana. And in South Carolina, we have a gently sloping seabed. So from shallow water there where the waves crash on the beach all the way out to where we believe 50, 60 miles out, you're talking about hundreds of feet of water, not 5,600 feet of water. You're talking about 400 feet of water in most cases where they believe the energy fields are. So you're talking about shallow water, easier to deal with any sort of mishap that may happen.
That's right. Well, we've got the threat of a government shutdown, and President Donald Trump has owned it. So where are we headed, Jeff? What do you see from your perspective right there in Congress?
Well, the voters were pretty clear in 2016, and I think they were just as clear in a lot of races, especially on the Senate side, about border security. And we need a secure country. It's amazing that we're only talking about $5 billion to continue working on the barriers, the wall, what you want to call it, along the border. And it's evident that when we have more and more caravans coming toward the United States, and we now are finding out that there are bad elements within those caravans, those migrants that were coming, a lot of MS-13 gang members, a lot of folks that have been convicted of rape and child molestation and murder and other things were embedded in those groups, that we need to take border security very seriously as a component of national security. And we need to determine who comes in our country and how long they stay, what they come for, and who we give our citizenship rights to. And I think we ought to address, guest worker program a little bit. But you can't do any of that until you stop the hemorrhaging and stop the illegal activity, and that's illegally crossing our border into our country for whatever reason. There's a myriad of reasons that people come into this country. Some do come to work and try to make a better life for themselves. But we also have drug smuggling, human smuggling, child smuggling, sex trafficking, terrorism. A lot of different elements are trying to come across our border as well, or do every day. We know we have a drug problem in this country. Well, those drugs come across the southern border generally. We're not stopping those. What makes you think we can stop terrorists if they want to come across? We can put barriers up through the plan that President Trump has and make a better obstacle to those activities crossing our border illegally. So it's interesting. We're talking about $5 billion. We're talking about securing the border. And we gave $150 billion to Iran and got nothing for it. At least for $5 billion, I know we'll get more border security and address national security in this country. And the other interesting note is in 2006, Congress passed the 2006 Secure Fence Act. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer both voted to secure our border with fencing. That's Trump's wall is just a large fence. But they voted in 2006 to secure a border with fencing in the Secure Fence Act, but yet they're fighting him right now over our funding, something that the American people want.
So do you think we're going to what do you think the mood is? I know what Pelosi and Schumer, but what's the mood around Congress? You're there, you're our eyes and ears. What's the mood from other Congress people?
Well, most people I talk to want to secure the border. We actually want to fund what the president has requested. We put that money in things that we've done in appropriations bills this year. It's interesting to note, Ann, that we have 12 different appropriations bills. We break government funding up into 12 steps. We've passed five of those. Seven appropriations bills never made it through the House or the Senate. So that's why you get into CRs or omnibuses, and that's what we're looking at, just to fund government to the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th, on those remaining seven areas, and Homeland Security, border security was one of those. Defense and five total appropriations bills are already fully funded to September the 30th. So we're only talking about a portion of what Congress funds for government every year. And then any kind of shutdown is only a portion of that portion. So it's not detrimental, but a government shutdown is not something we're advocating for. The president wants to fulfill a promise he made to the American people, and that is secure our country. We see what's happening in Europe right now, just a terrorist attack in France. We know it's a reality that could happen here. We know we have a migrant chain of a caravan, so to speak, of people that are a lot of bad elements. Not all of them, but there were a lot of bad elements embedded. And we need to put national security first, and border security is a big part of that. And the president's willing to shut down the government, I guess, as he said yesterday, I'm using his words, because it's such a national security issue.
Well, you keep talking about CRs. Will we ever have a budget?
So we have budgets. You know, the president puts a budget out, and the House puts a House and Senate put out a budget, and a budget is just a plan as it applies to the federal government. When they use the term budget in Colombian state government, they're talking about a full funding bill that actually spends money. We have two processes. We have a budget that directs how that money should be spent. Then we have the appropriators who write the bill that actually funds the account and spends the money. And so when we're talking about CRs and omnibus and minibus and whatnot, we're talking about appropriations process, which is a little separate than from the budget, although they go hand in hand. I mean, you craft a budget for the station there, and then you raise revenue to fill the account so that you can spend the money as you dictate it in the budget, and federal government tries to operate that same way.
Right. So we hear, Jeff. So we hear. Well,
I said tries to operate.
Yeah, I know. I heard you, Jeff. All right. Well, I'm sure these are going to be interesting times up there. And do you have any Democratic friends?
Yeah, I've got several. You know, Albie Osiris from New Jersey is a close friend of mine. He and I served on the Western Hemisphere subcommittee together, and he's just a great guy. Juan Vargas from California, he's a Jesuit Catholic, and we're in the prayer breakfast together, and we've traveled together, and he's a good friend. And so, yeah, I have a number of Democrat friends, but it's very difficult to get to know members in the other party the way this body operates. You have to really take the initiative, which I've done with Albio and Juan. I call him Paco, by the way. Juan Vargas is, I call him Paco, that's his nickname. But you have to reach out and really spend time with him. Interesting, the guy that ran for the Senate in Texas, Mr. O'Rourke, he was on my committee back when he first came to Congress, and I went to dinner with him one night to try to get to know him better and learn about him and his family, and we're friends to this day. And we can disagree politically, but we can still be friendly.
Well, I think that's one of the things that's kind of missing up there in Washington, isn't it, Jeff?
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and it's such a strong contrast from what I experienced in Colombia, where we spent a lot of time together on the floor, and you really got to know a lot of the members of the other party and members in your own party from around the state because you spent so much time together. We don't do very much of that here in Washington, and that's a shame.
It is a shame. It's a big shame. Well, moving on, you brought up Columbia a couple of times. I what did you think of Mike Pitts, Representative Mike Pitts, stepping down from Lawrence?
Well, you know, Mike's been there for, I believe, 16 years maybe, and he has done a fabulous job. He is one of my best friends, and you know, he had a little health scare this year, and I wasn't surprised, but I was a little surprised because Mike loved what he did down in Columbia. He was very effective as a state legislator. I remember the Ways and Means Budget Writing Committee down there, and chairman of the Ethics Committee, and it evolved to that. So he had done a great job, and really served the constituents there in Greenwood and Lawrence County for a long time, did a great job of that, really supported the outdoors community, which is important to me, and I applaud him for all the work he's done for the outdoor men and women, the sportsmen and women in the state and the country. I think it frees him up to spend more time with grandkids, and I think he's got a job lined up to, you know, spend some time making a little bit of money, hopefully, and to support him and Susan. But I hope he spends some time, you know, just enjoying the outdoors and other things that I know that Mike enjoys doing. But he really needs to be applauded because he's done such a fabulous job, I think, as a state representative and chairman and member of the Ways and Means Committee for the state of South Carolina.
You know, one of the things I always enjoy about Mike Pitts, he tells you the way it is and lets the chips fall where they may.
We need more of that in politics, I believe.
We do. We absolutely do. And,
but you could say the same thing about our president. He gets a lot of grief over that, but he pretty much calls it like he sees it and gets criticized by the mainstream media. And they're just not used to that type of elected official, I don't believe.
What did you think about him making that meeting with Nancy and Chuck Schumer open to the media where they were broadcasting the whole thing? I know Nancy was a little bit upset about that.
Well, she's the one, and the Democrats like to talk about transparency, and Trump was being very transparent yesterday. He wanted America to see how, you know, even the posture and the gestures that each of them made. You see how Senator Schumer sat, and thought it was brilliant to get them on the record talking about the border, because the American people are concerned about this country, and they want to see how their elected officials feel. We have way too many closed door, behind the scenes meetings and whatnot going on here in Washington. So I was kind of glad to see that, and it definitely, as a taxpayer and a citizen, to watch that and see, you know, their body language spoke volumes.
It did. It absolutely did. However, one of the things that I think is in the Senate, I don't know if it's in the House, or I guess it'll be coming your way, is this prison reform bill that they have there. Do you know anything about this one?
Yeah, you know, I support the prison reform bill. I think, that's something that was addressed early by President Trump and his daughter. And one thing I think they've left out of prison reform is trying to block cell phones, cell phone usage in. I'm sorry?
I said we definitely need that, I think.
Yeah, South Carolina's been the victim of a number of those contraband cell phones that have been able to make it into the prisons. My office has been working with Brian Sterling, the director of prisons in South Carolina, and trying to work with the EMC committee as well as telecom companies to come up with a solution to allow jammers to be put there around the prisons to keep these contraband cell phones from even being able to be used.
But I was watching a show last night, and they were talking about the number of people that will just be let out of prison if this prison bill, reform bill, passes. Can you shed any light on that?
No, I'd have to look into the actual facets of the bill, and I'm just, you know, one of the things that has not come through my committee, and
right.
I'm not following that. I know it's an issue that needs to be addressed, but I can't speak to the details, really.
Okay. Because now, will that have to come to the House, or has it already been in the House, just out of curiosity? I'm not sure.
If the Senate changes a bill, it'll have to come to the House. I believe the House has already passed a version of prison reform, and that might be the bill that the Senate's taken up, or they may have their own bill, and we'll try to marry them together in a conference. But I believe the House has already passed something, so it's not something that is pressing before the end of this Congress. Is something that it'll still be alive over in the Senate after January. They're a continuing body, the way they operate.
Okay. Well, what would you like to tell the folks as we finish up here? I know it's going to be a challenging year next year, but what can you tell us, Jeff? Can you give us any hope?
Well, first off, I want to thank everyone for giving me this opportunity to serve once again, and we are very, very open to communications at Facebook and other social media platforms or phone calls, emails. If you have a question, I've been working on a MUSC liver transplant issue for a constituent already this morning. So it's humbling to have this opportunity again. I'll go into my 9th and 10th year here in Washington. We're going to work hard, even in the minority, to try to do what's right for America, to secure our country, support our military, lower your taxes, allow you to keep more of your hard-earned income, to help you prosper and support your family and send your kids to college and do all those things to support a robust economy so that jobs are there and that we're treated fairly around the world in trade issues and that the rest of the world respects us from a military standpoint, because the world needs us to do that. We're going to continue working on that and continue working on American energy independence issues so that we can thrive and prosper in the energy sector and continue trying to focus on returning liberty back to the people, because our founders really envisioned a weak central government in Washington, a stronger state government, and more power resting with the people. And that's the philosophy and the basis of our nation, and that's what I think about every day. So the second thing, I just want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. Y'all have a happy holidays, a safe holiday. And I hope Santa Claus is good to everyone. And I'm excited about finally wrapping up this Congress, getting home, spending some time with the family there in the district, and enjoying the holidays. So Merry Christmas to you, Ann and Jeff, and we look forward to getting back with you after January.
Well, we look forward to hearing from you, Jeff. I guess we should just say, keep up the good fight. And those of us here in Greenwood, Lawrence area, and Aiken, your district, we are definitely looking for you to do great things in 2019.
We'll do our best. God bless. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Congressman Jeff Duncan. Have a good one. Bye-bye, everybody. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. That was Congressman Jeff Duncan on the line with us. Still up in the swamp and still trying to help drain the swamp. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.